Let's pray.
Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your Son and your Word and for each other. We thank you for your perfect plan. We ask for wisdom considering your Word, Lord. We accept your Word as truth, and we look forward to the harvest that we're going to receive from it. And in your name, amen. So last week, when we got back into healing, we talked about the redemptive right of our healing, if you guys remember that. We spoke about, and I always go fast through review, so stop me if you need me to stop and talk about anything. But we can't earn healing. And just like we can't do anything to earn our salvation, we cannot do anything to earn our healing. It's a legal right paid for by Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection on our behalf. So saying that, we can now enjoy the benefits, the legal rights of what Jesus has accomplished for us. This is huge because God isn't up in heaven deciding who deserves to be healed or not. It isn't based on prayer chains, by having enough people praying enough, or trying to move God by our good deeds or fasting to get him to move for us. It's already done. It's already on the table. Healing has already been paid for you by the actions of Jesus. God has already decided to heal. The price for healing has been paid in full. Our position as a redeemed child of God means that healing is our legal right, just like salvation is. So once we understand that, this changes the way that we pray. So once we understand that healing is a redemptive work of Jesus at the cross, we no longer pray like we are asking God to come down and do something he hasn't done. We understand that God has already done something. We aren't asking for a touch from God in the realm of healing. We pray from the understanding that he's already provided healing for us through Jesus up on the cross. So this is the key to accessing all of the promises of God, not just healing. The sentence has already been served. The judgment has already been made. Jesus took the punishment so that we, by grace through faith, can collect the goods. And it's our right whether we choose it or not. Just like salvation is always available for us, whether we receive it or not, healing is always available for us. And you guys remember we talked about communion last time. The power of communion is not in the elements of the bread and the wine that we drink. It's in the remembering who Jesus is and what he did for us. Okay, it's in the remembrance. He was saying to remember his body because it would be strength and healing. When he said, do this in remembrance of me. And when we do that and we understand and we know that, that's the power of the communion. And then we talked about Passover. Remember we talked about Passover and we said that's a type or shadow of things to come in the Old Testament, right? We talked about the Passover and, you know, remember there was, you know, it said you got to eat the whole lamb, the whole thing, the whole sacrificial lamb. And remember I said Sacramento has this many people and that's about as many people as left Egypt and they were all healthy, feeble, and wealthy. I mean, that was a thing. That was a shadow of things to come. We don't need to beg God. Forgiveness of sin, salvation, healing, and physical prosperity were and are part of the redemptive work of Jesus at the cross. We don't have to beg God for any of those things. They have already been done for us. The money's already in the bank. We don't have to beg the bank to get our money out. We can walk out like the Hebrews did, heads held high, saying, my God has delivered me, and this is my right. We aren't trying to convince God to do anything. We are accessing our redemptive legal right to walk in healing. The blood on the doorpost during Passover was a symbol of Jesus' blood being applied to the cross for you. We are saved and healed healed by putting our faith in the risen Savior. And we remember that healing has everything to do with what Jesus has done and nothing to do with what we've done. So that was last week's. That's our quick recap. Set that out of the way, and we'll get started on today's. Okay, we're going to talk about the covenant of healing. Healing is a contract. Healing is a legal right of our redemption, but it is also part of our contract or covenant with God. The Greek word for covenant is diathiki, which means disposition, contract, covenant, or testament. In the Bible, we have two testaments, or two covenants or contracts. There's an old contract and a new contract, an old testament and a new testament. An old covenant, new covenant. We get that, right? Remember when it changed? Jesus on the cross. That's when it changed. Okay. We're all following along. My mom's not in here to give all the answers, so we're gonna have to step up our game. In the let's see. So Hebrews 8:6, we read this last time, but now he, Jesus, has obtained a more excellent ministry, inasmuch as he is also mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises. Natural contracts have addendums or clauses put in them to cause them to have better terms. If this is done, no one would want to go back to the old contract when the new contract is a better one, correct? You know, if I'm in a union at work, we get a new contract, we get a raise with that contract. It's kind of what this sentence is saying here. The new covenant is based on better promises than the old covenant. We need to make sure we are relating to God through the new contract that Jesus made with us rather than the old. Unfortunately, when people give their word, they may not always keep it. However, God always keeps his word. So, you know, we're transitioning thinking. So there's a new contract, and it takes two parties to sign on a contract, right? Well, God always keeps his word, so his part of the deal is always in place. It's up to us to keep our end of the deal, right? Well, part of that new contract or that new covenant is healing. It's part of the contract signed by the blood of Jesus. Jeremiah 33:19 through 21. The Lord had just said before this that there will always be someone from the lineage of David that will sit on the throne. Okay. And he kept his word because Jesus now sits on the throne forever. So it did come through the line of David. So, but he says right before this, there will always be someone on the throne that comes from David. So, verse 19, and the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, saying, thus says the Lord, if you can break my covenant with the day and my covenant with the night, so that there will not be day and night in their season, then my covenant may also be broken with David, my servant, that so that he shall not have a son to reign on his throne, and with the Levites, the priests, my ministers. So he's saying, if you can break my covenant, which there will always be day and night's always happened, right? It's never been broken
from creation.
from creation. So if you can break that, then I'll break this covenant that I've made with David. You know, and to give you some context, Genesis 1, verse 3, right in the beginning, then God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. So, with that being said, how did God establish night and day.
His word.
By his word. He spoke his word. His word was a binding contract. That's why it's always happened. Okay. So, and then in this verse, he says, if you can break, well, he's saying there will always be a king from the lineage of David. And that was a binding contract. That was word. And he has kept that word, because as soon as Jesus was put in the throne of heaven, there's been a king from the lineage of David. So God's saying, the covenants I make with men are just as certain as the covenant I have with night and day. Notice the sun has never failed to rise and set. You know that as sure as the rising and setting sun, the word of God will never fail. If we've been sick for a long time, we can begin to think God's promises aren't reliable, because we're relating to God the way we do with people. We get impatient, don't we? I did. I want this fixed. I want it fixed now. In Numbers 23:19, the prophet Balaam gets a word from God, and it says, God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he, God, said, and will God not do? Or has he spoken, and will he, God, not make it good? Behold, I have received a command to bless. He has blessed, and I cannot reverse it. Because God said, I'm going to bless the Israelites, there's nothing he can do about it. It's law now, it's set. If you want context in that story, you can read it, but somebody didn't want blessings on Israelites. That's Balaam and Balak in that story. But the important part is, he says, behold, I have received a command to bless. He has blessed, and I cannot reverse it. When you become born again, you entered a covenant relationship with God, which is based on Jesus's performance, not ours. It is sealed by the blood of Jesus. You guys hear that? That's a very important statement for us to realize. It's not sealed by my blood. It's not sealed by anything but the blood of Jesus. Why does he look at me and tell me I'm righteous? Because Jesus was righteous. So it's what Jesus did, not what we did. So stop putting so much pressure for our own works. Since God blessed you, there's no power in hell that can stop the blessing of God coming to pass in your life, unless you allow it by not believing God's word. We're the variable factor in it. God's word is steady Eddie. It's us that's the thing that moves, the graph, sines and cosines and all that stuff, but he's good to go. You have the power to receive the healing provided by Jesus or not. If you don't believe, it's like not going down to the courthouse to receive your goods after they've been awarded to you by the courts. It's like, imagine getting a big inheritance, but you don't do the things that it takes to go receive that inheritance. God pursues his promises to you. He's not like other people in our lives who may have let us down. He's not a man that he should lie. When we start to understand how good and true and faithful God's word is, we won't be moved away from those promises by circumstances that tell us the opposite. Symptoms, aches, pains, the doctor's report, the long-term illness, those things all come to challenge the integrity of the healing covenant. That's the things that come against that, which in our minds, we're like, we start doubting, we start having unbelief, we start fearing, all these things that work against faith. We had a big study on faith on Wednesday nights back in the day, and those were things that we covered back then. But when we settle the word in our hearts that these promises are for us, We will respond by saying, I'm having what you say I can have. I'm here. I'm here at the bank. Give me what's mine. You said it's mine. I'm here to collect. God's word upholds all. In Hebrews 1:3, it says, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, Jesus upholded all things by the word of his power. When he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. So upholding, upheld, the definition is to support or defend as against opposition or criticism, to keep up or keep from sinking. So that's what we don't use uphold as a word there in our normal language. So like, let me figure out what that means better. You know, think of Jesus keeping our ship afloat and keeping it from sinking. You know, just even though there's holes and leaks all in it, he upholds us. You know, all things are held up by the word of God, and that includes you. When we feel like we can't go on, we need to be upheld by the word of God. Hey, the water's coming in, you know. We're taking on water in our boat. We need the word of God to keep us up, right? We've all been there. The power of God's word is the power of his covenant with us. We can be preserved in our lives by the word of God. In Psalm 107:20, he said, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. In Hebrews 7:22, it says, by so much more, Jesus has become a surety of a better covenant. It's a surety for sure. Jesus ensures the better covenant. He upholds us. And healing is our inheritance. Start turning to Ephesians 1. We'll be in there for a minute. Jesus wrote his last will and testament. When he died, he left healing as part of your inheritance. In the natural, you wouldn't disregard an inheritance, you would claim it. I just said that a minute ago, right? If somebody left you an inheritance, you're kind of like, okay, I'm gonna go get that. In Ephesians 1, look at verse 11. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. God planned for you to have access to healing as part of your inheritance. It's the way God planned it. Look back at verse 5. Having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. When you became born again, you became part of the family of God, and God planned for you to inherit his promises. All right, look at verse 13 and 14. In him you also trusted. After you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, say your so you make it personal. You know, everyone has their own, right? The gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, verse 14, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. Back when I said the gospel of your salvation, the salvation that belongs to you, think of it that way. The good news of your salvation. This is the gospel that belongs to you. And remember, the Greek word for salvation is soteria. We spoke about that, which doesn't just mean your ticket to heaven. It means health, deliverance, safety, and salvation. Health and wholeness are part of your salvation package. It is a covenant right that belongs to you. Galatians 3:13 and 14. says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. All of the blessings that God promised Abraham apply to us today as well. How come?
The family, we're part of the descendants of Abraham.
That's right. And that's it right there. So, I mean, it said in Galatians 13, I know we spoke about this a few months ago, but just trying to refresh our memory. The covenant Abraham with Abraham was a faith covenant. It wasn't the law, which was done by works. So by faith, Abraham, right? We see that so many times. Now it's us who through faith and grace are now received. So we're in the same way we made a covenant with God through faith, just like Abraham. So all of the blessings that God promised Abraham apply to us today as well, because it's a faith covenant. This is a picture of how faithful God is to keep his word. Promises that God made to Abraham thousands of years ago still stand today. When he makes a promise, you can take it to the bank. That's what it says right there. So I read it. All right, turn to Genesis 17, verse 2. And I will make my covenant between me and you, and will multiply you exceedingly. Then Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. Abraham was married to Sarai, who was barren. There was a number of years that passed between when God gave the promise and when the promise came to pass. It took 25 years for between the promise of you're going to be a father of many nations to the actual time Abraham, and he was Abraham by then, to become a father. It took 25 years. I mean, think about that. What if God tells me, I'm going to heal you, Dan? Okay. And I have to wait 25 years for it. I'm going to get a little impatient. I'm going to doubt. I'm going to have unbelief. You know what I mean? But God's word said it, so it's going to happen. And that's what we need to wrap our minds around. And it says Abraham did really well because he had promises, like he could look up at the stars every day and say, I'm going to have that, what God said I'm going to have. And I have descendants more than the stars. Sometimes we can become discouraged if a promise doesn't come as quickly as we expect. I was waiting too long for my healing, and it really wasn't that long in the grand scheme of things with Abraham having to wait. You know what I mean? But for me, it was longer than I wanted it. So, but it came to pass. Verse 5. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. God actually changed Abram's name to mean God with Abraham. So I was Dan, got born again. Does that make me Dan Ham?
Dan.
Verse 6, I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you, and I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and your descendants after you. What does everlasting mean?
Lasting forever.
Last forever, right?
Yeah.
That's why we are in that covenant through faith. God made an everlasting covenant with Abraham, and through faith, you can receive those promises. Now that you understand that, read Galatians 3:14 this week to remind you of that. Because when we read it, we didn't quite know where we were going. I'll just read it right now.
Yeah. So
Galatians 3, verse 13 and 14. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Verse 14. That the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles, that's us, in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. We getting that? Any questions? Okay. God doesn't change his mind. When he said, let there be day and let there be night, it's been like that everlasting. You can take it to the bank. Okay, so final thoughts. Let's not be discouraged. When you're dealing with a long-term illness, it's easy to become disappointed in your heart. I know this. Don't quit. You have a covenant with the living God who never breaks his promises. The reason David was so bold to fight Goliath is because he knew and understood the power of the covenant that he was part of. He knew that God was not a man that he should lie, so he had boldness in the face of the giant. Remember, he was like, who are these uncircumcised Philistines? You know, you don't have God on your side, we do. And he was able to stand there and know he knew the promises of God. Because of the covenant power that you have with him, world-changing power now resides in you. Let the surety of the covenant you have with God through faith, his goodness, and that he never fails his promises. Get that cemented inside of you. Make that part of your foundation. And that's it for this week. You guys got any questions, comments? Mom, when you're listening to this recording later, I'm giving you a shout out for being an engaged student. All right. We have any prayer requests that we'd like to lift up? A point towards Sherry. Sherry, do you have?
I just would hope that everybody would give me the positive vibes that I need on Tuesday for my heart surgery. I know everything's going to be fine, but every little bit helps. Thank you.
Our God is a good God, and everything will be fine. We'll be in agreement with you on that. So we will agree with you on that. Man.
Yeah. Or for me, just this prayer study right here is what I need to remember on a daily basis. So,
Okay. We can print you out notes and you can
Oh, yeah.
thumb through them. And okay, good. All right. Michael, will you lift those two things up for us?
Yeah, absolutely. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to get together. Thank you for your words you brought through Dan. Just want to lift up Sherry. She's going into her procedure on Tuesday. We know that through you, through Jesus, that she is healed and that everything will be successful and go great. And I just pray that you just fill her with your peace of knowing that you're in control of all things. I lift up Manny. I pray that you just continue to be with him and continue to just speak to him and help him just remember these things that we're going over and just abide in you, Lord, and just lift him up for the things that he's asking prayer for. Pray that you just bless everyone here. Bless everyone that's not with us right now. We lift these things up in your name. Amen.
Amen.